Today we're going to look into an old book of the Old Testament, about 2,500 years old, if not more. How many of you know or have heard of Zephaniah before? This is a few pages. It's wedged into the Bible. It's very easy. You flip through your Bible, you can pass it in a heartbeat and not even know it's there. What's in this book is exactly what this guy went through. And this message that Zephaniah gave to Judah applies to us today, and it'll apply to all time. Okay. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live in the earth. Gather together, O shameful nation, before the appointed time arrives and that day sweeps on like chaff. Before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's wrath comes upon you, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. Earlier we had a song up here that was saying, God is our Redeemer, God is our friend, our Savior. You know, we have a lot of words that describe the characteristics of God. You know, God is love. As John says, God is the way, the truth, the life, the light. He is holy. He forgives. God is our Savior. But did you know that God is also jealous? God is extremely jealous, and that's an understatement. And God is jealous for one thing and one thing only, and that is our attention, our relationship with Him. Now, we need to ask ourselves, what is jealousy? Exodus says, for the Lord your God, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He comes right out and says it. And he wants us to be a part of what he's doing in our lives. He wants us to know what's going on. And jealousy, you know, as I looked in a dictionary, jealousy is suspecting competition. Jealousy is protective. It's guarding. Fearful of being replaced. And when it comes to us, and when we're jealous, we could think about it as coveting something someone else has, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend talking to someone else, you know, another guy or another girl, and the other person sees it and they get kind of jealous, why are they talking to that person? Or it could be casting someone out of your social group or your life because you feel threatened by them because they might be better than you in some certain aspect in your life. So you feel threatened, so you're like, you condemn them, whether you know it or you don't. Now, God's jealousy, though, is different. Now, I want you to get this. God's jealousy is for our own good. God's jealousy is for our own good. He says, you shall have no other gods or anything that takes my place. It's for our own good. Our jealousy towards each other is nothing compared to God's jealousy. If there was a different word for it, that would be more suitable. Now, to give you an example of God's jealousy, you don't need to look very far. You just look to Genesis, and the first two people he created were Adam and Eve. He created them in his likeness. He created them to enjoy a relationship with them. But one bite of fruit replaced God. One bite of fruit replaced God entirely, because at that moment, man and women thought they could take control of their own destiny. I'm in control. And in his jealousy, God booted them out of the Garden of Eden. He won't put up with it. You know, he said, you know, get out of here, and here we are today. Let's take a look at verse 18 here. This is also something I want you to visualize in your mind. Chapter 118, the last part says, in the fire of his jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live in the earth. And that, you know, we use language to describe God, but that is just minimal to actually what God is. His jealousy is like a fire that would consume the entire world. That would look like the sun. That's how jealous God is for each and every one of us. You know, we look at Jesus in the New Testament, said, I will go after that one lost sheep. Not because he feels sorry for him or anything, because he's got a burning jealousy just for that one. He could have 99, but he wants all 100. And so, something important to keep in mind. Now, Zephaniah was a guy God picked to deliver a very loaded message to a nation who was numb to God. They had, at this point, become so numb to God that God needed to do something. Now, Judah, as we've talked about a few sermons ago with Johanna, you know, they had a Babylonian exile. They were captured. But this is the warning they were given before that all happened. They were God's chosen people. They're Israel. You know, they're the same. Judah and Israel, they're the same. Israel's in the north, Judah's in the south. And these people God handpicked to be the light of the world. They were to be the bright city on the hill of the Old Testament. They were God's example. They were his representatives. People were to look at Judah, at Israel, and see the face of God. But what happened? In 1 verse 6, those who turn their back from following the Lord and neither seek the Lord nor inquire of him. Verse 12 says, at that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like the wine left on its dregs, who think, oh, the Lord will do nothing, neither good or bad. You know, neither their gold nor their silver will save them. So these people knew they were God's chosen people, but they put God on the shelf. God started to collect dust, and it got to a point where you couldn't even recognize the face of God. These were people that were, they were consumed. They were consumed with selfish desires. You know, they looked to other gods and relied on their own understanding to make it through their lives. They were greedy, you know, more for me, less for you. They were consumed, they were power hungry, they wanted more. The rich were getting richer and the poor were getting poorer. They had power over those less fortunate. So it was a high poverty there. But the worst of all, if you were to combine all of those together, it can be described in one word, and that's complacent. These people were satisfied with a secular lifestyle. And I know you had brought up lifestyle last week, and that is an important thing. What kind of lifestyle are you listening to? And, you know, for me personally, this summer I've gone on a lot of fasts. And it was challenging. But when I realized I was cutting off the fat, the secular lifestyle, you know, you don't want that, and you're left with the good stuff. It might not seem like that, but once you give yourself to God, you're going to start seeing these things unfold. And that's what God wanted to have happen to Judah. We need to ask, why was God so angry that he would use such words like, the fire of my jealousy will consume you all? Why? What took him? What did it take? Well, there were many signs and warnings given to these people. God has a history with these people. God has pulled them out of the fire so many times. He's like, I forgive you. And different books of the Bible that we have, like Amos, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Jonah, these were names of people. They're not just fancy titles for a book. These were actual people delivering the same message. Turn from your evil ways, your own understanding, and just give it to God. And if that wasn't enough, Judah was still a nation, but Israel wasn't. Israel had already been completely annihilated. These were their neighbors. Judah was not oblivious to what happened to Israel. Israel was suffering the same problems Judah is. They were complacent, and God took them out. And Judah still decided to ignore God. And the problem here, in a nutshell, is that God was forgotten. God was forgotten. And just because this happened thousands of years ago, ask yourself, have you forgotten God? It's the same thing. And God is jealous. So when you forget him, you're kind of, in a way, making him a little upset. Now, I work at a phone bank. And I deal with all kinds of customers. And one major theme, you could say, that I notice in many of my calls is that a lot of people are negative. They are morally negative, and their account is literally negative. And it's the same principle applies here. I kind of, unfortunately, play judge, jury, and executioner for these people. And what happens is they will call and they'll say, if I make this purchase, will I go negative? And I will say, yes, you will. You will get penalized. You will face the consequences if you go out and do this. So they go out and they buy an Xbox. And then they call me the next day and they're like, why did I get all these fees? I'm like, how much longer must I deal with you people? I can't say it, but I think it. I saw one account, 400 overdraft fees in the last 12 months. $35 each, they're paying the price. And they say, can you help me out? I was like, I could have helped you out way long ago, but you've come to a point of no return. I can't. I'm sorry, Bob, I can't help. I can't assist this anymore. You're going to have to pay. You know, you were warned. You were given literature. You were given words. But you still chose to do this, and you knew the consequences. The same people, Judah, who forgot about God, were also the ones he saved and blessed countless times. Think of the Exodus. He took them out of 400 years of slavery. And what did he do? He gave them their own land. He gave them a kingdom, a king. He gave them gold and silver. He gave them everything that their hearts desired. Look at such people like Gideon. Now, Gideon was an Israelite who took 300 Israelites up against an army of thousands, and God provided a victory. Look at Elijah. God provided a victory. It was one man against hundreds of prophets of a different God. And you know what happened to those prophets? They're dead. On that mountain, they died. And there's an example of God's jealousy. These people on Mount Carmel with Elijah completely turned away from God. And God had no problem striking them dead. He's like, they're to a point of no return. They're useless. Judah became a dominant force. They were popular. They were kind of like the superpower of their time, much like the United States is a superpower today. But most importantly, they were given the promise of a Savior. They knew they were going to be saved. It might not be today, but they knew God had something big coming, and that was Jesus Christ. And they knew this. And so, so what did God do? He looked at this nation. He warned them. They kept overdrawing and overdrawing their accounts. And God said, you know what? I can't do anything for you. It says here in verse 12 that he was going to go search Jerusalem. God wants people to have, you know, he's going to wipe out a nation, but he still leaves room for people who want to seek him. Yes. Can you imagine God going through in a completely secular and evil town with a lamp and says, will you follow me? Will you follow me? And they all said no. Now we're going to talk about Zephaniah's words and us today. Now, God is jealous for our attention. And not only just our attention, but your attention. Individual. He calls you each by name. Isaiah 43:2 says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Those are God's words, not just to one person, everybody. Now you got to ask yourself, how many times is it going to take God to get your attention before you end up like that? And it could be worse than a car crash, and you just don't want to be there. But, you know, God does answer our prayers. You know, as you said in worship, he's right in front of you. But more than that, it's like a father to a child. He bends down on his knees and gives himself to you. We might not know everything about God, but he reveals enough to us for us to have a relationship with him. Have you forgotten God? And I want you to let that sink in for a moment. Have you forgotten God? Do you say things like, well, I'll talk to God this week sometime? Or how do I know He's there? Or all the what ifs? Or I don't have time right now? Well, I hate to break it to you, but life is very short. We're vapors in the wind. We're here and gone. And even though when we're young or older, we could still feel like, well, I'm going to live forever. My life was almost cut short 5 years ago. And if I had been saying these things and not giving God the time of day, He probably would have looked at me and said, Jesse, I was like, yes, I'm here. He's like, you didn't have time for me. Every time I knocked on your door, you said no. And He's going to come to a point where He's going to say, I'm going to give you what you want. And the answer is no. And your home is right here, down there. And that's a scary thought. You could be 10 years old. You could be 12 years old. You could be 15, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. There is no age limit. You can't say to yourself, well, I will look to God when I'm an adult. Look at Timothy in the New Testament, the youngest preacher there was at the time. He said, don't let anyone make you feel ashamed for being young. So I'm telling you, you better start taking these questions seriously. You can't ride the fence. Revelation says, I wish you were either hot or warm. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. You're wasting my time. Judah was suffering with complacency, their normal secular lifestyle. Are you? Are you satisfied with what you're doing at this moment? Selfish desires, just like Judah. Well, I need to have this new big screen TV in my bedroom. I need to have the newest car. I need to have the latest, the greatest, the best. But look at that. You get it, and there's still a void. We call that emotional shopping. Emotional eating. I've got emotional shopping. I just bought a video game the other day that I'll probably return. But you're still left with an empty feeling, and that's something you will never fill. You can't do it. You won't do it. I promise you, you will never do it. Only God can do it. Are you living an ungodly, secular lifestyle? Remind yourself of that. Reprioritize. So the question is now, what do we do based off of this? We seek God. Chapter 2 is loaded with the word seek. The first three verses have seek 3 to 4 times. What do? We pursue God. We ask God. We talk to God. You know, when we pray, that's called prayer. But when we pray, it's not meant to be something like, God, thank you for this big greasy burger that's going to clog my arteries. Thank you for the new shoes. Thank you for my dog, amen. That's not what prayer is. God wants you to ask Him the tough questions. God wants you to talk to Him. And this is something that I've learned the hard way. This summer, I have been dealing with many issues, and God has revealed Himself many times to me. But it came to a point where I also was asking God, are you listening to me? You know, you warn us in Zephaniah that if we keep living this way and not turn to you, bad things will happen. And so I said, are you listening though? Because I don't really feel it. And then I started praying to God, but then I did something different. I left time for God to respond. Talking to God is a two-way street. When we think of prayer, we think, well, we tell God what we want, we go. You need to physically allow God the time to respond. And I'm kind of embarrassed about this example, but I was in the bathtub a few weeks ago when I said this prayer. And I said, God, come on, I'm scrubbing here. I need an answer. All right, that's it. Are you there? And so I left time for God to respond. And through the Spirit, which Judah didn't have, We have the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay? So we're held to a higher standard, believe it or not. God has given Himself to us. Through His Spirit, He said, 1 Peter 3:12. Never knew what that verse was, had no idea. I raced out, got dressed, looked at that verse, and the verse says that God listens and hears the prayers of the righteous, but He does away with the wicked. No idea what that was, and it just popped into my mind, and He answered me directly. It might not happen that way all the time. You might have to wait, but God listens, He answers. God is outside of time. God answers right away, whether it's yes, no, or maybe, it's right away. So we seek God. We pray. It says gather together. We are a community. We're a community right here. We're a small moving force. And for those of you who are kind of not sure, you know, is God really there? This message isn't meant to scare you, but it's meant to tell you that time is of the essence. God is searching with a lamp through the cities. And He may come to your door one day and says, will you finally take a leap of faith? And if you say no, it might be one no too many. Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen the next day. So we gather together. We surround ourselves with people who have a heart for God. We seek righteousness, as it says. That means seeking the heart of God. Seeking to be right with God. Because if you're seeking the heart of God, you know you're doing what's right. So for those who say, well, what if this or what if that? Just start talking to God. Whether or not you've had a relationship or if you are in a relationship with God that's gone stale, start talking to God. It can be 5 minutes a day. It can be 10 minutes a day. It can be when you're driving. It could be when you're in the bathroom. It could be when you're on the phone with a crabby customer. God doesn't sleep. We need to seek humility. And in light of this, that means letting go of your secular lifestyle. Things that are not important that will fade away in 5 years, don't even worry about it. Worry about what's going on. Judah was flashy on the outside. They had everything going for them, but there was an internal cancer that was growing, and that was their faith. And that's where God is. It's internal. So if you look good on the outside, or if you've got the latest and the greatest, you just might be a wreck on the inside. And God is here through Jesus Christ to clean that mess out. He will do it. He's promised. He did it already. You got to realize how important you are to God. God put Himself, He created everything, and He put Himself on this earth for each and every one of you. And He just didn't stick around for a while and go away. He died. And He rose again. And if you're like, well, how do we know He rose again? Over 500 people saw the risen Christ. 500 people. So He died for you so that eternal punishment would not just be put on the side, but would be completely forgotten. He will not remember that. So when you get to see God face to face, instead of saying, I'm going to give you what you want, and the answer is no, He's going to say, my good and faithful servant, my perfect good and faithful servant. He will not bring up your sins because He will forget them. Now we read the words seek. Jesus in Matthew 7:7 kind of echoes what Zephaniah said hundreds of years earlier. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. You know, that awkward feeling you get in the pit of your stomach if you're not sure, that's God. When you speak of God and you start feeling all kind of weird and funny, that's the Holy Spirit. That's just not you having a stressful moment. That is God. That is God talking to you. So you need to start indulging that feeling. Because God says, knock and the door will be open. I will be there. Now, God is jealous for your attention. Jesus is jealous for your attention. He's jealous for your attention when you come to church. If you come to church for the social aspect of everything, you're wasting your time and you're wasting God's time. It's a wasted effort on both parts. If you're here to say hi to your friends and that's it, there's the door. You come here for God. You might as well wait for lunch. So keep that in mind. He's jealous for your attention when you go to work, when you're doing nothing around the house, all the time. So in closing, I have a challenge for all of you and myself. We need to start listening to God. And it's easy to say it, but when you pray to God, whether it be 5 minutes or 10 minutes, leave a couple minutes to listen, because He will respond. You need to seek God. You know, God doesn't burst open the door and says, here I am. He talks to you through a quiet voice, a whisper, through the Holy Spirit. All the answers, or all the questions that you've had, the answers are already right here.